Hey, podcasters, Claire Zimmat and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, tennis legend Paul McNamee on the sad end to the Hopman Cup.
Kimber has a crack and your shower won't know what hit it.
And that gun Frio midfielder Andy Brayshaw dropped into the studio after a massive round one win for the Dockers.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5. The Big Breakfast catch-up is for Dale Alcock.
We were a little bit shocked. There's been a bit of talk about this for some time, but shocked this morning to pick up the paper or turn on your computer or your device and see that the Hopman Cup, looks like the Hopman Cup is going to be gone after 31 years of amazing tennis, incredible history here in the West.
Such a popular tournament.
And so many great players over the years, not just Federer and Serena and Pat Cash and the likes, but some magnificent players. And we saw their careers develop, starting with coming to a sort of tournament, mixed doubles tournament here in Perth.
Yeah.
Shame, isn't it?
Yeah, one of the co-creators of this wonderful event, Paul McNamee, who's been on Mix 94.5 many times over the years and many breakfasts we did there at the Burswood Dome in the old days. Paul McNamee, g'day, mate. How are you?
Clearly, g'day. Yeah.
Paul, bit of sad news, and especially with such a history.
Yeah, Kimber, look, it is sad today because, look, the Hopman Cup is so special. So, yeah, initially sadness, concern about what the future of it will be somewhere else in the world. I just hope that there's another city that the ITF can take it to that will love it as much as Perth did. I mean, that was an amazing affinity we had with the city of Perth.
Mm. Paul, I mean, I guess, you know, when these things do come to an end, people start looking at the, you know, the bottom lines and whatnot. And this has been a taxpayer-funded event over the 30 years. Do you think we'll look back on it as money well spent?
Well, every time you walk into Perth Arena, as I do, you know, I went to the opening and I've been to Hopman Cup there, I just have a sense of joy and, you know, that really is a legacy of the Hopman Cup, is that beautiful new arena. It's one of the best arena state-of-the-art in the whole world. And I think the fact that it was able to host the tournament and then, of course, there'll be another tournament comes along. So I think that it was well... And it wasn't totally government-funded. In fact, the Hopman Cup was a pretty strong event. So I don't think you should feel... It wasn't like an F1 Grand Prix or something.
No, sure.
Or a rally. It was nothing like that. It was measured. And I think the government, you know... did a very good job.
Mm. Mate, so many great memories over the years and so many wonderful players came. And we saw, as I mentioned in the intros, we saw players' careers blossom when they came here as youngsters.
Yeah, Monica Seles burst on the scene in Perth. You know, Martina Hingis. I mean, you'd go on and on and on and on. A young Roger Federer, he came as a hitting partner.
Yeah, right.
He didn't even play the tournament the first year he came. He was hanging out in Northbridge and trying to get in underage to the bars. All that,
awesome.
Not the brand we know now, of course.
Yeah.
So, look, it did really launch a lot of careers. And in fact, I think one legacy that people are not aware of is that without the Hopman Cup, mixed doubles would not be in the Olympics. Yep. The IOC committee said, well, how can men play with women on the same court? They showed them footage from the Hopman Cup and they go, oh my, it really worked. So that's one legacy that I think we should mention as well.
Well, that's really disappointing, Paul, too, because, you know, the Hopman Cup played a significant role in boosting women's tennis and showcasing their abilities. And now this is going to be replaced by the men's only ATP Cup. Doesn't that seem like we're kind of going backwards?
Well, I really don't think there was any choice because the ATP Cup is a new event. And in fact, it's a complement to the Hopman Cup that it'll be round robin, which is what the players want in the first week of the year. I mean, if Federer and others have talked about it. If the ATP Cup was not in Australia, it would have been in the Middle East. It certainly would have knocked the Hopman Cup around. So I think Tennis Australia, their hand got forced. And I shouldn't talk about that event because they're going to announce it today. And they should announce that with some excitement. That's only fair. So I do think that it was a question of a new event coming along with points. Tennis Australia wanted to protect the lead into the Australian Open and they wanted to protect top line tennis in Perth. So I think, you know, we have to be fair. I'm more concerned about personally, where will the Hopman Cup go? So it doesn't just die and then it will go to a city somewhere in the world that will love it like the people of Perth did.
Yeah, so much passion for it, mate, at both venues, of course, with the Perth Arena as well. And we could sit here and talk for about 12 hours about the Hopman Cup ball stories and the event turning your hair grey when players were pulled out at the last minute with illness or whatever. But, you know, really good to catch up, mate, and hear you well.
Yeah, and by the way, the best catchphrase we ever had was mix it with the best. So you can just guess which radio station kind of had an affinity.
Funny that, isn't it? Yeah. Paul McNamee, always a pleasure.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Testing.
Oh, my gosh, this is amazing.
Hi, it's Vince with ShamWow.
This is a great product.
Kimber has a crack.
A segment in which our Kimber Kale, you sort of like services and products and the like, and you test them out without giving them a rating.
That's right. No, this one does get cracks, but I pay for the product and so it's unbiased.
Okay. Yes.
I'll tell you if it sucks or not.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Now, this one is a big one because my shower is gross. I would love to say that I clean it weekly, but I totally don't. And I'm not the person who squeegees the water off the glass every time I have a shower.
Yeah.
So my shower is filthy. And I was desperate to find something to get it off. And
yes.
I've tried every product under the sun.
Yes.
Right? If you've been a rental, you'd know all about it.
Yep. Mm. Absolutely.
So I tried a product that keeps coming up in my Facebook feed. Keep seeing it everywhere. It's called KOH. Mm-hmm. EcoWorks.
Okay.
This is my super disgusting shower. It is a pretty old shower. The glass is old, and so it's got some built-up soap scum over the years. And also, I haven't put any other products on it lately. I haven't cleaned it. I've intentionally kept it dirty so we could see whether this EcoWorks product actually does anything. You can see in the background there those shower taps. Can't even really see them because of the soap scum.
I feel like we've all been in the shower with Kimber now.
Yeah, it's a gross shower. But, you know, this product is, it's a water and mineral formulation. It's potassium hydroxide, basically. It's 100% Aussie-owned, asthma-friendly, eco-friendly, allergy-friendly. Mm. Now, I bought the kit. It's a 4-litre product. It comes with 3 diamond sponges and 4 microfiber cloths and a spray bottle.
Holy mackerel.
And I thought I'll get the whole kit because then I know.
Yep.
It's not just the solution. You see if it's the sponges as well.
Get some extra steak knives with it.
Look, I wasn't looking forward to it because I also had low expectations,
right.
But I got to work.
So it just says to spray this sponge a few times and then lightly rub the glass. So, wow. Look at that. You can see the soap scum there and how much that's boarded off. Okay, great. I'm going to keep trying and see how we go.
That first bit was funny because you were so serious. I'm not used to hearing you like that.
I know. I was like, you know, just home alone doing the shower.
Yeah.
I mean, how exciting can you make it sound? But the diamond sponges definitely take some of the work out. So I tried it with the microfiber cloths on their own.
In the top part of the shower where you get a little less soap scum, I've just put the spray on there and I'm just going to use the microfiber. I mean, like, I don't even feel like I'm really scrubbing. And the difference is amazing.
I was actually really surprised how easy it was to clean, like really.
So I reckon I did about half an hour on the shower and I wasn't really concentrating on it. I wasn't putting in lots of effort. I just did the bare minimum. I think that if I gave it a second go, it would be even better. But look at the difference. It's so obvious and it was such little work, a little bit of elbow grease, but nothing more than what I've ever had to use before. I'm super impressed.
Ooh, go
so
Kimber.
You didn't work up a sweat?
Not at all.
Because you're not a scrubber, are you?
I'm not a scrubber.
Not a scrubber.
Honestly, my shower looks amazing. We're talking, this shower glass is 23 years old.
Really?
Okay.
And it looks good.
Yeah,
The kit was 50% off, and it often is, so check out their specials. The kit cost me $55 for all of those things, and I hardly used any of the solution. I also did the oven door, which looks great. You can do the barbecue, pots and pans. It's basically an all-over cleaning solution. You get rid of everything else you own.
You do it all while you're in the shower.
And you use it for everything. Yeah, it is so good. I'm giving this 4.5 cracks.
Great.
For the EcoWorks that you see on Facebook and the pics and the vids of my gross shower and the incredible results. I think you'll be amazed. We're going to put them up at mix.com.au after 9. So
wow.
How many cracks do you give it?
Four and a half cracks.
And my bad, because I was getting confused with your other segment.
Yeah, if you're interested in it, you can buy it at co.com.au, which is K-O-H. And I'm amazed. My shower looks great.
Kimber has a crack.
Very
look at
happy.
You're glowing.
Yeah, because now I feel like I have to do less cleaning. And that's why I don't clean it in the first place.
Did you use the microfiber cloth on your face?
You are glowing. And the segment I was getting confused with was Netflix and Chill. That'll be back soon too.
Yeah, cool.
This will fill you up. Everything perfect. For Brekkie, Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Shut up! The boy is on the radio! He's one of the hottest rising stars in the AFL.
Great shot! Brilliant goal!
And he's our man inside the Dockers. Let's talk footy with Andrew Brayshaw for Automasters.
Early days, but a great first up win for Freo at home. Andy, good to see you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, really, really good. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me back.
Always great to come in after a win. Now, I've got to say, Cam McCarthy, I mean, he struggled last season since the move from the Giants and then went and kicked 5 goals on Sunday. Did Ross give you some kind of mighty, mighty Ducks speech over the summer? Like, what did he say?
Well, Cam has been working on a lot of things over the off-season and he's in the best condition he's been in that I've seen him. And from all reports, it's the best, you know, Nick he's in. So he's really fit. He's working really hard. He's had a lot of focuses going into, you know, this season and played 2 really good game scratch matches for Peel Thunder. And he's just come in and played his role and stepped up. So, you know, it's great to see Cam play such a good game, but I don't think it was any, you know, magic. He's just worked really hard and had a lot of focuses going into it.
Yeah, 82-point win over the Roos and Cam played well. Nathan Fyfe was brilliant. But do you think it was your point that made the difference?
That was it.
Definitely not. I wish I could have kicked a bit straighter, but you know, it's games like that where not everyone has to play amazingly. Everyone just sort of play their role and step up, you know, in certain moments. And I think that's what the team did on the weekend. So it was great.
Mate, it's pretty rare when you get 3 experienced recruits and they all kick a goal in their first game for the club. That's pretty good. I saw Lobb and then Collier and Reece Conker as well all getting goals and the whole team came around the boys.
Yeah, it was great. And it was so good to see everyone get around each other and, you know, all the backs and the forwards and the mids getting around, you know, everyone. So it just sort of shows that, you know, we're a really tight-knit group and to see those guys kick those goals, it was really brilliant.
Well, and it's such a mental game. So to be able to get the first one on the board, as you say, we talked last week about there's always a bit of first round nerves that's slightly different. And so, you know, to be able to put that behind you and now move forward means you're starting in a better position.
Yeah, definitely. Just tick that first box, get the first win at home. Yep. And now we just got to go play Gold Coast away. So hopefully we can get that win as well. And, you know, just keep going from there, taking it week by week and just, you know, building on every week, building on our game.
And this, I mean, because I'm a cricket nut, so I sort of turn off from footy in the pre-season. But we've got new rules in place this year, right? Where you've got the 666. Are you enjoying that? Do you like it?
I don't mind it. In the JLT, I think we gave away a few free kicks for not being set up on time. But now we're sort of adjusting to it now. And if we have someone coming off the bench, we usually send a winger into the forward or the back. And it sort of works, but I guess it opens up the game a fair bit. You're seeing teams score really, you know, high scores, and I think that was our high score for a very long time. Yeah. So yeah, I definitely think for the viewers it's great, and if we can just adjust a few things, you know, and make it work for us, you know, it'll be really good.
And for those not sure about the 666, you've got to have 6 players in the 3 zones on the ground, don't you?
In the back, in the middle, and in the forward.
When the ball goes back
Thanks.
To the middle.
I was thinking 666, not normally something you should be happy about.
It's normally the devil, isn't it? Mate, I watched your game closely on the weekend. Well done, and I can see you're working hard, but you got a hit in the face on the weekend, I noticed. Did you just sort of shrug it off?
Yeah, no, well, I was surprised I didn't get a free kick. Got a little smack to the face.
Didn't anyone see that? I got hit in the face.
Probably the last thing you need first game of the year is a smack to the face.
Yeah, well, you know, some people might think that, but then, you know, I can take it as positive. I didn't get really badly injured. I just got a scratch to the face. So I got back up and, you know, mouth guard's feeling good and keep going. So touch wood, if a hit like that happens, nothing really bad happens and I can just keep playing.
Well, it's a test for you psychologically too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's great.
So Gold Coast, Metricon Stadium, is that you enjoy playing there? I have
only been to Gold Coast once to play.
Schoolies.
No, not schoolies. That was for under 18s. I think we played a game there. Right. So I haven't, not this year, last year, sorry, I haven't played there. But from all reports, you know, it's a pretty nice deck. And it's the travelling bit that we need to work on. Last year, I think we won a lot of home games but didn't win many away. Mm. And so a really big focus for us is to double down on preparation, get over there, be really professional, and then hopefully come away with a win. So, if we can bring what we brought on the weekend, I think we'll be all right.
Right. And they nearly beat St Kilda last week. Yeah. So you got both of those sides in a row.
So, yeah. So it should be good.
Every week's a test. Hey, Andy, good to see you, mate. All the best.
Thank you very much, guys.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Oh, I am feeling like a very bad person today.
Oh, just today?
Yeah, just today particularly. Yeah.
Took a while to kick in.
My partner's mum bought us a voucher to have a beautiful lunch together.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and right, yeah. It's expiring this weekend.
Oh.
Sure. And I didn't want to be a person who wasted it, so I tried to book it yesterday, and it's fully booked.
Oh, the restaurant's fully booked.
The restaurant is fully booked. Yeah. And so the voucher is going to waste.
Kimber.
Oh, really?
And I feel terrible about it.
How long you had the voucher for?
3 months.
Right.
And especially since James's brother also bought us a voucher to an escape room. You know, those escape rooms fun.
Yep.
We also wasted it. And the cheese voucher you guys gave me for my birthday.
Yeah. How'd that go?
And then, well, the cheese place shut down and I wasted it.
Actually, 3 months with a restaurant voucher, the way the restaurant game is right now, that's dangerous. You're treading on dangerous ground
there. I feel really ungrateful and I feel terrible. And I'm basically now putting a veto on this, saying no one buy me vouchers because it's not fair. And I feel that you've wasted your hard-earned money on it and nothing's being used.
Excellent. Well, that'll save us a bit of money.
Absolutely. But, at least $20 a year each.
Then you've got to lie about it, because if they ask you how the lunch went or how was the escape room, we've got to start coming up with stuff, or we've got to pay to go to these things ourselves now and just say that we use the voucher.
Well, you've got to be very careful, don't you, if you get a gift that you don't like and you keep, you know, put it in a cupboard for a couple of years and then you decide to re-gift or, you know, pass it on and you end up giving it to the person that gave it to you.
Yep, that happens all the time.
Just thought of one from a long time ago I can't mention.
Oh, really? One that you never used?
These people live in the same city as me.
Yeah, see, because you feel bad
about it. Yeah, I feel so bad. It was
How long ago?
Oh, no, 20 years ago or something.
You still won't say it.
It was a big deal. No, I can't.
Oh,
I can't.
Look, give us a call, 133353. What's the gift that you've never used?
Okay.
Might not be a voucher. It might just be someone gave you a wedding present and still
it's
sitting
just
in the cupboard.
There.
But just the gift that someone else has spent their money on and you are so ungrateful and you're as terrible as me and you still feel bad about
it. There's that fifth trifle bowl. It was so beautiful.
And they were thinking,
crystal.
Yeah. Oh, he'll love this.
Absolutely. Yeah, we want to hear that sound.
Oh, stop it. What's the gift you've never used? 133353.
How's the cheese?
I'm really disappointed about the cheese one.
You're disappointed? Oh, it's my last 20.
You're so lactose intolerant.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for Brekkie.
I'm a terrible person. My partner's mum has bought us a beautiful voucher to have a lovely lunch together. Mm. And we've wasted it because it's expiring on the weekend and we can't get a booking.
Oh, dear.
So
can't sit outside or something?
It's just a shame because we've also wasted the other present that his brother bought us. And we're just not good with vouchers.
No.
You're a shocker.
But we want to know, what's the gift that you have never used? Teresa's in Wembley. Teresa, what have you not used?
It's a sketched portrait that my uncle did for my husband and I for our wedding. It was this big deal. My mum gave them a photo of us at our engagement party, and my uncle spent months doing this sketch and presented it at our wedding. I had no idea about it, and it was atrocious.
Was it sort of like Picasso style? What was it like?
I think my 8-year-old probably could have done better.
Oh, Teresa, that's heartbreaking because, you know, it's done with love, but it's terrible.
Oh, so every time he came over, we'd quickly put it up on the wall, and when he would leave, we'd pull it down again.
Oh, no, you did that trick. Well, yeah, that's dangerous because you could forget, or if you did a pop-in visit.
Oh, it's horrible. Thankfully, he lived a few hours away, so it wasn't that frequent. But, so unfortunately, I don't even know where it is anymore.
Oh, it does sound unfortunate, Teresa. Sounds like a real mistake you've made there. You're like, I don't know where that is.
Well, it's probably going to sell at Sotheby's for $8 million.
Can you imagine it?
I would hope not.
Oh, that's tragic.
Thanks, Teresa.
Let's go to Naranda. Ron, what's the gift you've never used?
Oh, a fondue set.
A what, sorry?
Fondue set.
Was that like a present for a wedding or what was it?
It was our wedding present. We just celebrated our 35th wedding anniversary and we've never used it. It sits in a box, inside the garage.
35 years.
Well, I get that because it was all the rage at one point, but then, I don't know, it just, does anyone do fondueing anymore?
Well, Ron, my friend bought me a fondue set for my housewarming last year. So apparently they're still going strong. I still haven't used it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's one of those type of things. I think it was popular when I was a kid back in the 60s. So I can't understand where it's, I mean, melting cheese and dipping stale bread.
Yeah.
It's just not my type of thing.
I don't know. I think it might be mine. I'm going to get it out. I'm like, actually, this is probably a great gift for me. It's got chocolate and cheese.
Yeah.
And it's just dripping and you can just stick things in it with toothpicks. It's ideal.
So what are we saying? Your fondue set, Ron, you're bringing in for Kimber. Is that what we're doing here? By swap and sell?
Ron, I challenge you to use it. I'm going to use mine and you can use yours.
If I can find it, it's buried. The
the next anniversary.
Do it, Ron.
Good on you, Ron. All right. Hey, Ron, forgive me if I'm wrong. Is that a Canadian accent I hear?
No, it's actually California.
Oh, my apologies.
I've been here since 1982.
Oh, there you go. Normally I can pick the difference. Yeah. Oh,
that accent will fade soon. Don't worry, Ron.
Have your fondue set and get that cholesterol medication upped.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Game of Thrones.
Isn't that a great way to start the juice this morning?
The Game of Thrones fans are searching the world for thrones.
Oh, really?
To celebrate the upcoming final season, HBO has hid 6 thrones around the globe. They are life-size and they're made from actual swords. And so it's just a giant scavenger hunt.
Oh, really?
They're basically just giving away clues, hiding these thrones, and people are just going out. And I guess once you get there, you kind of just take your selfie on it and then you leave the throne for other fans to find.
That's very cool.
What a day with the West Coast Eagles golden ticket in the paper and now a throne to find.
You've been excited?
Oh, yeah. It's all happening.
Well, those are a few of your favourite things.
Yeah.
So far, the thrones have been located in Sweden, England, Spain and Brazil. So a couple more to be found. And HBO have also been encouraging the fans to donate blood at the blood bank and doing like Game of Thrones themes to draw people in.
Okay.
Getting them to line up and be part of it, which is a really great initiative. They're doing something with it.
Some people say it's a bloodthirsty show, so why not?
Oh, they need all the blood they can get for what they use on it. The new season is coming April 14, but most fans would probably already know that.
Yeah.
Right.
Guys, Diana Ross is 75.
Really?
And so Diana had an A-list party in LA to celebrate. Guests like Bette Midler, Heidi Klum, the Kardashians, Puff Daddy. And who would be the best person to sing happy birthday to Diana Ross?
Lionel Richie.
Well, actually, probably that was a great answer.
Oh, great answer, yeah.
Oh, why weren't you in the planning party?
My love, my endless love.
Oh, go on. Who stuffed it up?
No, they went with Beyonce.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Miss Ross.
Woo!
Happy birthday to you.
Do you reckon after that Beyonce went backstage and went, how was I? Did I nail it? Did I nail it?
I'm actually glad it sounded like that. I was more worried it was going to be too much.
Whoa,
of that.
Yeah.
Oh, this is for you, Casey, because I know you love the Supremes.
Why don't we play any Diana Ross on this station? I know it's a little bit older, but my goodness, she's awesome.
Yeah.
Diana Ross and Supremes.
They're
in the 60s.
So good. I love listening to these albums.
Damn fine.
Anyway, also too, guys, Bryan Adams made a lot of Perth fans happy last night after his Kings Park gig. The reviews are glowing. There have been people on our Mix Facebook page this morning saying it was absolutely incredible. Clarzy, you were there?
We were there on the hill, on the grass. You know, it's got to be the last gig of the summer, though, even though it's not summer, you know what I mean? Because it started to get a bit cool last night.
Yes,
a bit dewy and the rest of it. But the crowd, I reckon, I really fit in there. 7,000, that natural sort of sloping amphitheatre at Kings Park. And the crowd went off. And the beautiful thing about Bryan Adams is he's such a pro. He's a funny guy, too. He is such a pro that he just comes out playing the first song as he's walking on stage.
Yeah.
Cool.
And he played a lot of the hits you would expect to be in an encore pretty early. So you got Run to You and Heaven, which were both from that Reckless album, and then you got Summer of 69, and you got Everything I'd Do, I'd Do It For You, all in the first hour.
Yeah.
It's chock-a-block. And have a listen to the crowd singing on it.
Cool.
That's nice. The best stage. He goes, great singers, Perth.
Yeah,
it's
really good.
It's very cool.
Well, actually, I should say too, it needs to be mentioned, the event organisers, Melon Events, do a great job, and they said there are still people who turned up with tickets that they bought through that site via GoGo.
Oh, no, so they couldn't get in.
We're not making this clear enough, obviously. No. We've got to say, avoid that site, okay, because it does come up first in Google searches. So if you go in and you type in, I want to see the Perth tour of whatever band.
Yeah.
Via GoGo always comes up first, but it's not a legitimate site. Like, make sure you're always getting your tickets either straight from, you know, Live Nation or Melon or through, you know, Ticketek, Ticketmaster, because so many people are losing money and those people were turned away at the gig last night. They can't be let in.
That's very disappointing.
Just keeps happening. So I want to reiterate to avoid that site.
I know that you may not know the answer to this, but right, Google is a company. There are people somewhere that work for Google. How is a site like that still up there?
They should be able to police it, shouldn't
they? Yeah, yeah. They're still trying to take legal action against them. It's taking a long time. They've known for like 18 months or 2 years that this has been a problem, and they just can't seem to get them brought down. And so it could be ongoing. So just avoid ViaGoGo. Don't buy tickets there.
I know you used up a lot of time, but I just want to say last night, Brian Adams showed what a heart he has. He talked about the fact that the band were in near Christchurch when the massacre happened, and they played a song called Shine a Light last night because they had to play Nelson in New Zealand the following night. And they said it was very hard to know what to say. So the song called Shine a Light came on and everyone turned their phones on. It was just a beautiful part of Kings Park last night, thinking about the New Zealand people.
Bit of healing.
Yeah. Nice touch. Yeah. Very nice.
Oh, lovely. That's your daily juice.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
2 million. 1
Perth person.
$2 million.
$2 million.
Mix 94.5's $2 million song with Watertown Brand Outlet Centre.
I want to be a millionaire.
Forget about the millionaire, it's a multi-millionaire. Timesing it by two, you could win $2 million. Should we go to the burbs?
Yeah.
Let's go to Spearwood. Marie, good morning.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't believe this.
Well, you haven't won the $2 million yet, Marie.
Oh, my God. I can't believe this. Oh, God.
Well, congratulations. You have got through and you are on the shortlist for the chance to win $2 million, Marie.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I was predicting another oh, my God there.
What would you do? Go on, Marie.
I was going to swear, but I held myself back.
Yeah, yeah, well done. Good control.
Well, if you win $2 million, Marie, you don't have to hold yourself back. I'm seeing here you'd love to take the family around the world on a cruise.
Absolutely.
Oh, beautiful.
I mean, you could do that, Marie, because, you know, you could win $2 million. But if you did win the $2 million, you could take the family on a cruise around the world. Or I put it to you that you could make 66 fully life-size Nick Natanui statues out of Australia's most expensive cheese.
I would love that.
That's a choice, Marie.
Cheese, you know. And this cheese, it's $300 a kilo for raw milk cheese out of Adelaide. You can make 66 Nick Natanuis, or if you want bang for buck, you can make 79 Andy Brayshaws.
Oh, yeah. He's a bit of a smaller
unit. Oh, I've been with that,
Nick Nat. Or you can go on the love boat with the family. That would be pretty cool.
Thank you so much. Oh. I can't believe this. I'm amazing.
Yeah, you just sounded a little bit shocked, Marie. So all the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That's our pleasure.
Thank you.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
We're here with our buddies from Dale Alcock.
Yeah, thanks Dale Alcock for getting on board with the show and celebrating your Advantage series from under 200K and with 20K worth of bonus inclusions. That probably includes a kitchen I can eat my fondue in.
I would think so. Settle. You can renovate your home. You can transform your lifestyle with Dale Alcock Home Improvement.
Yeah, dalealcock.com.au. Got the news coming up for you shortly after that. Well, he's president of the footy club, isn't he, Dale?
Yes.
The footy club that are 1-0 so far this year. That'd be my Dockers.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Hey, guys.
Yes.
A lot of talk in recent months about Prince Philip and how he shouldn't be driving cars. They've taken his license off him and the rest of it. He's had a crash and the rest of it, but he's 97. He'll be 98 in June.
God, good innings.
I don't want to be driving at that age. Take my license away and give me someone to get me around in a taxi
too
or something.
Right, yeah.
Maybe he's, you know, he wants a little bit of independence after all those years and, you know, that kind of thing and freedom, especially on the royal land. But when you talk, there's been so much talk about Prince Philip, people forget that the Queen is 93 next month.
Incredible.
You know, it's pretty easy to do. And they're putting down to the secret of her long life, her longevity, saying how she's fighting fit. And obviously they get the best food, the best care and all the rest of it with wonderful medicos around them. But 67 years on the throne, they say at 92 years of age, almost 93, the secret for the Queen's longevity is a glass of champers to keep the doctor away.
Is that right?
A glass a day, they say. Beats an apple.
Yeah, it does.
I struggle to get through that.
Do you not like champagne?
Not at all.
Not doing it for you?
No, it doesn't matter how expensive it is. It all tastes like passion pop.
Right. Well, I bet you she's drinking some nice plonk.
Oh, there'd be some Dom and some Mum. Yeah. And, maybe it's called Mumsy. Yeah. I saw a bit going down. A few queens there last night at Bryan Adams.
Was there?
Well, I saw some girls drinking some champagne last night and their partners as well.
Actually, if she only has one a day, that means she's got to crack a fresh bottle every day.
Yeah,
pretty much. She cracks a freshie. That's no doubt about that.
The rest goes down the sink.
Well, she's got someone to do it. She's got a crackman.
Yeah, a royal crackman.
Oh, that's weird.
You know, it was funny because with Harry and Meghan and all that sort of stuff, we've been lulled into this kind of, no, the royals are cool. Mm. Don't worry about the fact that they're, you know, just this family that have born into privilege and use all of your money. They're really cool.
Spend it on their champagne.
And poor old Meghan, it must be a weird life for her.
Oh, it would have changed overnight.
You know, there are words that she can no longer use.
Oh, is this Meghan they're calling it now?
Meghan, yeah. I don't know what that's all about.
Saying she wants everything, yeah.
But imagine you come from the States. You're just a sort of normal girl, you know, you got a good career as an actor and you come into this world and, you know, for example, if the Queen was to walk in right now, obviously we'd go and crack a bottle of Yellow Glen.
Sure.
But you'd think one of the words that you might use is, oh, pardon.
Yes.
Yeah. It sounds like a nice word, doesn't it?
Yeah,
but apparently no.
Oh, no royal pardon?
Do not be using the word pardon in the household.
Okay. Oh, it's taken far too seriously.
Far too seriously. Oh, if you do find yourself rubbing shoulders, you would say sorry.
Oh, okay.
And not pardon because you're a piece of dirt, obviously.
Oh, okay. Oh, even if you're fluff?
Even if you're fluff. Mm. And you must never say tea. I mean, you can say tea about the drink, but never about food.
Oh, for dinner,
Yes, okay. It's supper.
Oh, supper. Of course, not even dinner. How crude of me.
Sounds so posh, isn't it?
And, of course, dessert, pudding.
Oh, but what if you don't want pudding? What if you want...
No, but everything's pudding.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Yeah, everything's pudding. I must admit, they'd say, do you want your sweet, love?
Oh, what do they say for the bathroom? Like when you need, because that's the thing I've got an issue with.
Yeah, not allowed to say toilet.
No, you don't say toilet.
I hate people using the word toilet. I think
why?
I don't know.
How about WC?
Why don't you just say bathroom? It just sounds nicer.
Say WC.
Does it? Yes.
Bathroom. It sounds American
bathroom?
To me.
Bathroom. It's just a much nicer way. Of
The water closet. The
water closet. Yeah. You're going to the bathroom.
The toilet.
But they, of course, you can say loo because that's all cheeky.
Oh,
and
loo.
The loo.
Well, that's like us saying. Expected that.
Yeah, that's like us saying toot, I guess, isn't it? It's just the Aussie abbreviations. The English one might be loo.
Isn't it weird? Mm. It's weird how you're affected by... I mean, I know all of us are affected by certain words.
It's just toilet. It just doesn't sound nice.
Mm. Okay.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Sorting the winners from the Wooden Spooners. AFL footy tipping on the Big Breakfast. Brought to you by Channel 7, The West Australian, The Sunday Times, Mazda and Mix 94.5 with thanks to our official partner, Tab Touch. Go to thegame.com.au.
Let's be honest, round one of the AFL, tipping is a dirty word across the nation.
Ooh. Unless you're Monica Koss.
Yeah.
Yeah, Monica fluked a good six this week.
Did she fluke it or does she know something?
No, I think she did quite badly last season, I'm afraid.
Oh, look, the game footy tipping, this is insane. This is $50,000 at the end of season or a Mazda BT50 XTR. How good's that? You can win that just for tipping on the footy.
Just for tipping the footy? That's easy enough to do, isn't it?
And Monica Koss can't win it, by the way.
Yeah, it seems easy enough. I got two last week.
You did. That was the only thing that made me feel better about my three.
I smiled. apart from Freo winning, Kimber not winning.
Well, actually, you know what's happened is, so I got joint second in the footy tipping last year.
Which was great.
Did very, very well. Yeah. Due to my 12-year-old mate, Jack, who has been doing the tipping for me because he's the best. But now my neighbour thinks I know footy. And so my neighbours started having footy conversations with me and I am out of my depth.
Right. Yes. Okay.
I can't talk
Jack
footy.
Is Jack doing tips for you this year?
Jack's tipping for me again this year.
Oh, well, of course he's going for his beloved Eagles and that's why he ended up with two.
Yeah, we're off to a rough start.
I mean, for anyone who is listening, I can't stress enough just how little Kimber does know.
I know.
Do not grab her in the street for any reason.
Let's test that theory,
for
shall we?
Football.
We'll test the theory. Yeah. Name three Dockers players. Kimber?
Pav.
Thank you. And rest my case.
And he's not even playing anymore.
No, he finished 4 years ago.
And we've got one coming in today too.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Andrew.
Andy Brayshaw.
Yeah, hey,
thank you.
Got one.
Thank you.
Yeah, there
Lucky
you go.
Neil.
Stop it. He left. He's gone.
Hayden Valentine.
Yeah.
Just anyone who's been on our show.
That was all right. Well, Nat Fyfe. Look, we've pretty much gone the same way in many of the games, including the two local sides.
Yep. We're going West Coast and we're going Frio to win. In fact, only two people, Shane and Ryan Daniels, Shane Hope and Ryan Daniels, have gone against West Coast.
Oh, Shane's gone. Shane Hope has gone no hope for the Eagles at home.
Un-West Australian.
Ah. GWS are pretty, the Giants are pretty good.
It's not an easy one, that one.
Despite their player drain, they've got some stars there.
Yeah,
so we'll see what happens. Will the Eagles bounce back? I get the feeling they will.
Well, I hope we get some sort of bounce back from the 2 points last
that's
week.
That's embarrassing.
Sorry, KC. so refreshing to see you behind us for a change.
The Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
Get clapping, Paul. Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader. Like a horse running.
Was that Captain Paul's clapping?
Yeah, he's like... Like in Monty Python, where they get the coconuts together.
I heard winks at the end there.
I saw the panic in Captain Paul through the studio windows when you said his name. He's like, I'm on. I'm needed.
I have my cans on, yeah. Sorry.
Well, I'm glad you got your cans on because this is something that you and Kimber, I know, have been through. And I guess now that I've got my lovely little puppy, one day, unfortunately, as life works, I'll have to go through this. Your beautiful pet will eventually pass on to that.
I know, it's rubbish,
great
isn't it?
Kennel in the sky. You had Nero, didn't you?
Yeah, I had Nero for 16 and a half years.
Yeah,
and Sky for 13 years.
Okay, well,
I'll
be interested to see what you think about this because Amy Vangemert, an American woman, was so devastated at the thought of losing her 13-year-old toy poodle, Boona, she had him cloned.
Oh,
really?
Oh, the old cloning.
Had him cloned.
Golly the sheep.
Yeah, $70,000 went to a company called Viogen in Texas, which sounds a bit sort of weird, scary, Skynet, Terminator kind of thing.
That's a bit.
But apparently they cloned Barbara Streisand's dog.
Yeah, Barbara's had a couple of her dogs done.
Has she?
Yeah, really? She's had the same dog cloned twice, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, and sure enough, that she got three puppies. She gave one of the puppies to the CEO of Viogen because they're obviously very cute. And she's happy because she's got the same dog again.
Didn't need to give one to Barbara Streisand.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's a bit weird.
It's weird. And, you know, charge half the price for a cat. They'll do your cat as well at Viogen, but for half the price. Because apparently it's harder to get a dog. Because the dogs only go into heat twice a year.
Right.
Okay, so to manage their hormones and stuff like that, it's harder to get them to procreate.
Viogen. Sounds like a good company, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? Now, you loved Nero, of course.
Oh, I adored Nero.
Consider something like that.
I feel like once you've cloned them, that there's some kind of like creepy artificial version.
Oh, like when they come back from the pet cemetery?
Yeah, like exactly. Like pet cemetery style. Yeah. I think it's too strange. I just got the closest by getting a really cool McGruff.
Yeah, and Cap, I know Bella's in the room, so you don't want to say too much.
Yeah, you don't want to upset her.
But would you have cloned Skye if that was an option?
No, not for the money. I mean, if it was cheaper. I don't think so.
I'll do a backyard job for you if you want.
Yeah, but it might end up looking a little Dick Pinsky then.
Well,
comes out with the extra legs.
And the only thing that's slightly, you know, whatever, each to your own, if you've got $70,000 to splash around, go for it. Because her husband was really worried about her.
I bet he was.
She was crying at the thought of him passing on.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, but the problem is... She's the mother of four.
Oh.
She's
pretty busy.
How do the kids feel?
Oh, they know they're going to get cloned. Mum has no emotional, you know, coping mechanisms, I think.
Oh, dear.
Well, there you go.
Can you clone your workmates?
Can you?
How old? Oh, another Paulie.
Another Paulie?
Not that you're dying, mate. No, none of that.
I was going to say, who would Clarzy possibly pick to clone?
I'm sure our bosses wouldn't say that. Much is that
dog in the window. 70 grand.
Exactly.
That dog in the B car.
Oh, stop it.
That Big Breakfast catch-up was for Dale Alcock. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.